Brothers and sisters, as we continue on in the series, The Grace to Love Again, you're going to hear excerpts from the journal recordings which I've kept along the way. This particular one is the Lisa in New Zealand journal timeline from May 15th to May 31st, 2021. May 15th. Today was the day I discovered the second instance of God orchestrating a 777-day deliverance from an unfaithful wife who left me. It is exactly 777 days from March 5th, 2019, the day P separated from me after hearing God was calling us to move to New Zealand, to April 19th, 2021, the day the Lord told me to let her go after waiting for 4 years in the hope she would return from her apostasy. The very next day was the day I made the announcement video from Austin, Texas on April 20th. After reflecting on the simplicity of Isaac and Rebecca's simple wedding, I started thinking we should do our small wedding ceremony in front of Lisa's parents and her daughter at their house and have a little time with them before we head off, and Lisa completely agreed, having felt the exact same thing. Praise the Lord for how He keeps us in such sync. Today is also the day that we both agreed in prayer for Father to free me from the injustice and bondage to the ongoing child support I'm paying for a woman and children who all hate me and have had nothing to do with me now for 8 years. I cannot move forward on a passport until that issue is settled. Father seems to be showing me verses to trust Him and that He will take care of it. Lamentations 3:55-58. I called on Your name, O Lord, from the depths of the pit. You heard my plea. Do not close Your ears to my cry for relief. You came near when I called You, and You said, "Do not fear." O Lord, You took up my case. You redeemed my life. Michael Commentary. Lisa and I have agreed that for you to get the true picture of what this journey has been like, we need to include some insights about the spiritual warfare we have faced. The majority of that warfare has come to us through dreams, and they were clearly aimed at stealing away the glory of God by attempting to separate Lisa and I through fears and doubts. While I will not glorify Satan by sharing the actual dreams he gave us, I would like you to know that a few times they were quite effective at causing one of us to be brought down for a time, but with God's help, we got through the attacks each time. As it says in 2 Thessalonians 3:3, the Lord is faithful and He will strengthen you against every evil attack. There were a few times where the Lord had given us a particular instruction which we ended up neglecting through disobedience. Soon after would come a terrible dream for one of us that ended in our being tormented with almost inescapable thoughts and significant changes in our mood and our feelings for as much as a day or more. We came to see this torment was the Lord's disciplining as we had taken off our breastplate of righteousness through disobedience. The Lord disciplines those He loves, and He corrects everyone He accepts as a son or a daughter. If you're not disciplined, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. See Hebrews 12:5-11. I wish to point out that He was never harsh or angry or anything less than kind to us, but to motivate us to obey Him, He allowed Satan to torment us a few times. Tormenting thoughts are so painful. Let me say a few things to clarify. We have had many satanic attacks, but most of them do not leave us feeling tormented. Most of the time, with God's help, we can snap right out of them saying, "Oh, that was obviously a bunch of lies from Satan." But these few times where we were disobedient, they had led to dreams which led to inescapable torment that you cannot shake off until the Lord sends help. Now, let me also point out that not all satanic attack or torment from demons is a result of disobedience. To our knowledge, we were only disobedient to His instruction a few times, but we have had perhaps a dozen or more terrible dreams throughout this time so far. Paul was also tormented by a messenger of Satan, but it was to keep him humble, not because he sinned. And Satan clearly attacks us to distract us from doing God's will or achieving God's purposes, which lead to God's glory. However, a great deal of torment from demons is in fact attributable to disobedience and rebellion against God's words, just as Jesus taught in Matthew 18, saying His Father would turn any Christian over to the tormentors who did not forgive their brother from their heart. In those cases, taking up the shield of faith will do no good. If you are under the inescapable torment of devils, perhaps hearing voices or being bombarded with negative thoughts, constant nightmares. Ask the Lord to show you what door you have opened to allow them to touch you like this. Where is the area of rebellion and disobedience? It may be some stubborn sin. It could be unforgiveness, or it could be a door to the occult, or any number of things. Ask the Lord to show you, and once you have removed that sin or rebellion, cry out to God with the promise of Joel 2:32. All who call upon the name of the Lord will be delivered. End of commentary. The rest of our day was a spiritual battle against all kind of negative thoughts being harpooned into Lisa's heart. We took note of the fact that all these thoughts were based on fear, not faith, from God's promises to us. They were all completely contradictory to what Father has promised us and even what we have felt all so far. Father encouraged us both that day, even warning us with a 666 and reminding us of his Matthew 7:11 promise to each other. We then talked about how Israel had to fight its way through 31 kings to get into the promised land. Just after that, she reminded me that she had seen Deuteronomy 9:1, which was yet another Holy Spirit confirmation. Deuteronomy 9:1-3. Hear, O Israel, you are now about to cross the Jordan to go in and dispossess nations greater and stronger than you, with large cities that have walls up to the sky. The people are strong and tall, Anakites. You know about them and have heard it said, who can stand up against the Anakites? But be assured today that the Lord your God is the one who goes across ahead of you like a devouring fire. He will destroy them. He will subdue them before you, and you will drive them out and annihilate them quickly as the Lord has promised you. We ended our call together laughing and cutting up again. Later in her day, the Lord refreshed her spirit even more by the news that one of her friends was so excited for her that she almost, quote, fell out of her chair when she heard the good news about us getting married. May 17th. In this time of waiting on God for next steps, I snuck ahead and read the Streams in the Desert for the 18th regarding waiting on God for the next move. This has been the cry of my prayers for the last several days, and shortly thereafter, I looked up and it was 6:44 a.m. Isaiah 64:4, God acts on behalf of the one who waits for him. Praise the Lord. Then the Father was so wonderful to use the number 989, causing it to appear two times at two different stores on my receipts for my wedding clothes. Pictures available at relentlessheart.com/series under episode number 20 in the series, The Grace to Love Again. There was that great and wonderful word of God to encourage us after what we had just been through on page 989 of my Bible, which says Ecclesiastes 4:9-12. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. May 18th. Lisa was still not 100% in the morning, but she was by the end of the day. Oh, the Lord has intervened again and blessed her so much, and he continues to take down the gates between us. Today, she received an apology email from someone in her life who had been being used for some time to try to discourage her from moving forward into remarriage with me and telling her that she cannot remarry if her ex-husband is not physically dead. So many of us are still ignorant of the new covenant and its emphasis on the internal spiritual life and death over the external physical life and death. If only Christians would study the words dead, death, and sleep in the new covenant. If only they would ask themselves, what did Jesus mean when he said, let the dead bury their own dead? How can a dead person bury another dead person? What did Jesus mean when he spoke of living people, quote, crossing over from death to life when they believe in him? How can someone who is alive be considered to cross over from death to life? What did he mean when he said to the people in the church of Sardis, you have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead? How can he be writing a letter to dead people in a church? Or What did Paul mean when he said to Timothy that the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives? If only they would read Romans 7. And after Paul speaks of a woman being bound to her husband under the, quote, law of Moses, which no Gentile has ever been under to begin with, see Acts chapter 15, but if they could then see that no Jew in the history of creation has ever died a physical death to the law of Moses in order that they might be married to Christ. They die a spiritual death to the law of Moses, not a physical death. If they could only see that God punished people in the Old Covenant with physical death over and over, and yet in the New Covenant, He is pleased to allow them most often to physically live, but now they die spiritually. And they should remember this happens because He is the same God yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:8. He still feels the same way, but He now simply deals with us differently under the New Covenant. When Jesus cuts a tree out of the ground in the New Covenant, as in Luke 13, the person may continue to live out their physical life, but spiritually and to God, they are now dead. Hence all the scriptures above and so many more that show this clear truth. If Christians only realized that under the law of Moses, Leviticus 20:10, Lisa's ex-husband would be stoned to death for his adultery, my first wife would be stoned to death for her adultery, and my second wife had to be stoned to death for her apostasy / spiritual adultery and for trying to turn my heart to another God. See Deuteronomy 13:6 through 11. Any Christian who has spiritual eyes to see this from God's new covenant perspective can see that people like Lisa and I have actually been spiritual widowed. Her once and me twice. Today, Jesus would speak these very words to many of today's believers, which He spoke in John 7:24. Stop judging by mere appearances and make a right judgment. John 7:24. Or, as the NLT says even more clearly, look beneath the surface so you can judge correctly. This particular member of the family admitted to Lisa that they could be wrong and expressed the desire not to have any division between them. This was indeed a wonderful step forward and a blessing in answered prayer from Father. Additionally, her mom had spoken to the pastor and friend of the family who lives next door to them just a few days ago. She mentioned the family feud which had been happening about remarriage and explained to him what I believe and teach on the subjects of divorce and remarriage, and then he told her, I agree 100% with what Michael is teaching. That really blessed her mom to hear. Then a few days later, he came knocking on their door and brought her a book and asked her to mail it to the family members who were struggling with this, the one of which had just sent a sort of apology text to Lisa. And as it turns out, he was this particular family member's pastor when they were young. And this family member actually respected this pastor. The book he gave them was called Divorce and Remarriage in the Church by David Instone Brewer, spelled I-N-S-T-O-N-E hyphen Brewer, B-R-E-W-E-R. Then, that same afternoon, Lisa texted the apology she had received from the one family member to her mom, and her mom couldn't believe it. It made her cry, and she really blessed God for answering her prayers, and it really bolstered her faith. So, here we see the Lord allowing Satan to assault Lisa's mind the previous 24 hours, and because she endured and kept the faith, God came to the rescue and with a vengeance. We have seen this cycle happen repeatedly. God has been faithful to strengthen us and rescue us from every evil attack, even the ones which may have been brought on by our own disobedience. The Lord confirms tell the story. On this same day, the Lord went out of His way to confirm for me that He wants me to begin telling the story of what He is doing in Lisa and I's marriage and faith journey so far, even in the face of the fact that the Lord has allowed me to take my personal life back up again. Nevertheless, I am delighted to share all that He is doing in our life as we trust Him by faith for this incredible promise. May 19th, 2021. What is the Lord telling me right now? The main command God confirmed on the trail to me in prayer yesterday has been, finish the work. tell of his wonderful deeds in the marriage story so far. The following are the main scriptures and the last 24 hours in order that God has shown me while I wait for the next steps of what to do about the tiny house, child support, passport, visa, with only 99 days until my plane leaves. 1 Peter 5:12. This is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. This came to me while recording to a lady interested in the tiny house and wondering if they will get the finances or if I should even put up a for sale sign and an online ad. 5:55. I will deliver you. Isaiah 64:4. God acts in behalf of the one who waits for him. Joshua 23:3. It is the Lord your God who fights for you. Isaiah 45:1. I will remove the mountains, the bronze gates, and the iron bars. Numbers 9:19. Stay put. Don't move. Wait for the Lord. 2 Samuel 23:5. Arranged and secured in every part, he will bring about your salvation and grant you your every desire. Job 23:9. He's at work, but you just can't see it. 1 John 5:19. We know we have from him what we ask. Galatians 5:25. Keep in step with the Spirit. Deuteronomy 5:33. Be very careful to obey. And I've seen the number 434 four times in the last 18 hours, yet I'm not sure yet what it means. I've just looked this 434 up again, and now I believe it is the passage below in Deuteronomy, which is God saying, I'm going to do all of this by my power. That clearly fits all the above passages that he's been showing me. Plus, this agrees with God leading me to Exodus 9:16 and Romans 9:17, saying he raised me up to show me his power and to make his name known amongst the nations. This is easily corroborated by the most recent discovery of the second 777-day release from bondage to an unfaithful wife. It takes an amazing amount of power to arrange the life circumstances of multiple people day after day in order to reach a final outcome on day 777. Note, as I read the below verse in Deuteronomy, I see that he is also indeed taking me out of one nation and into another. Deuteronomy 4:34 through 38. Has any God ever tried to take for himself one nation out of another nation by testings, by miraculous signs and wonders, by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, or by great and awesome deeds like all the things the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your very eyes? You were shown these things so that you might know that the Lord is God. Besides him, there is no other. From heaven, he made you hear his voice to discipline you. On earth, he showed you his great fire and you heard his words from out of the fire. Because he loved your forefathers and chose their descendants after them, he brought you out of Egypt by his presence and his great strength to drive out before you nations greater and stronger than you and to bring you into their land and to give it to you for your inheritance as it is today. And as even more confirmation, I come back to this note after going to the restroom, and it's 6:06 a.m. Exodus 6:6 through 8. Therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. This verse also complements all the others Lisa and I keep seeing about him giving us this, quote, land. Also, it lines up perfectly with him leading me to Matthew 9:28 several days ago about all these huge obstacles, essentially asking me, do you believe I am able to do this? Plus, this wonderfully timed devotional yesterday on the 18th in streams speaks to this exact situation. The prospect of feeding that multitude did not alarm the Lord. He asked Philip, indeed, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? John 6:5. But we learn immediately that he said this, quote, to test him, verse 6. The Lord Jesus is perfectly confident that he can meet our needs and he would have us confident too. For he is the one who for thousands of years has met the needs of those who put their trust in him. Say not, my soul, from whence can God relieve my care? Remember that omnipotence hath servants everywhere. His help is always sure. His methods seldom guessed. Delay will make our pleasure pure. Surprise will give it zest. Amen. Indeed, I feel it such peace to just rest in him and watch him do this, to watch him act in our behalf and gain much glory for himself and show once again, this was all his doing, not ours. Yesterday I said, Father, what are you going to do about all this? Not what am I going to do about all of this? May 19th, I put up the introduction to the Grace to Love Again series. I then received a testimonial video, which actually backfired and caused me to receive huge flaming arrows into my heart about a similar way that I could lose Lisa before I even get a chance to marry her. It was horrible, and I could feel it in my body. The Lord helped me to put these thoughts down, and then Lisa also gave me such strong assurance in the matter. The last few days, Lisa and I have noticed that Father is going out of his way to create spiritual unity between us with his guidance. We keep seeing numbers separate from one another where we will share what we saw and then discover that he has also showed the exact same number / scripture to the other one. A very special answer to Lisa's prayer. Today, God answered Lisa's prayer in a fantastic way. We have attempted to book our special honeymoon accommodation, which has been the desire of Lisa's heart for us. It's not available on the night of our wedding, the most important night, but only the following nights. She was challenged to believe God to remove this obstacle rather than booking somewhere else because this really was the desire of her heart. She prayed and asked God to show her one of three numbers, either 512, 455, or 555, if he would grant her this desire and request. She then prayed specifically for God to give the number to her through me and asked specifically that I would share it with her as one of my screen captures right at the start of our very next phone call with one of those numbers that she had asked for him. That way she would know if he had heard her prayer and was prepared to grant her request such that she should go ahead and book the accommodation for the nights already available and just trust him for the night of the 11th. 11 seconds into the call, as seen in the screen capture below, I notice that she calls me and it's 5:55 p.m. my time. I sent her the screenshot and she exclaimed, "Oh, praise God." Actually, she said, "Oh, praise God. Praise him, Michael. He has just answered my prayer." I was so delighted to hear this. And now we knew that God was going to grant her request and give us that booking for the night of our wedding. Praise the Lord. Trouble strikes after a blessing. I want to keep true to the story, but I must protect Lisa's young teenage daughter in this part of our story. I'm not going to share any more details about this throughout this story, except to say that, as may be expected, when a young lady and her mom have been so poorly treated and neglected by the father and the husband, it should come as no surprise that she would resist any other man or husband coming into her and her mom's life. For a time, this was a very serious obstacle, and Satan was clearly behind the scenes influencing thoughts and inducing fears. But this was not an issue that Lisa nor I were willing to let stand between us and the promise we knew the Lord had given us. We decided to fully trust the Lord to deliver us in this. And this became a very significant Romans 8:28 blessing to me when I got to see where Lisa stood regarding her faith and her willingness to overcome obstacles in order to trust God for this delightful promise. She was not willing to put her own flesh and blood's comfort above the promise which she knew God had called us into. She showed a steadfast determination to patiently trust God with me to remove this obstacle from her daughter's heart. I would love to share the details because some of them are truly delightful, but I must refrain from doing so and leave it at this. Over several months, through much prayer and patience, we started seeing little clouds the size of a man's hand on the horizon. by the grace of God, this young woman has finally gotten to the place in her heart of being excited about me coming and being a part of their family. She has even mentioned me already in two songs that she has written. What a praise to God. No one who hopes in Him will ever be put to shame. Psalm 25:3. I then come across Romans 8:19, and for the first time, I have this realization that the Lord is just as excited about the good gift He is giving to Lisa and I as we are. I'm still not sure what I should do next, even though I feel like the Lord has been telling me to move forward in spite of opposition using Luke 9:51. I am moving forward. I'm telling the story, the grace to love again. But regarding moving and preparing to go to New Zealand, I'm feeling that the Lord is telling me to wait for Him to act in my behalf at this point. I'm trying to be very careful to obey Him. May 22nd. Today I realized that Lisa emailed me from New Zealand 2 years to the day after P separated from me because of New Zealand. We separated on March 5th, 2019, after she confessed that she would not be moving with me to New Zealand, which was where God was calling us to move. Then, on March 5th, 2021, exactly 2 years to the day, Lisa emailed me, and this was her second email to me in which the subject matter and her words showed me just how much faith she had in God. This was the email that really confirmed her authentic and strong faith in God, which caused me to take notice of her. This happened while I had temporarily taken down the ministry, RelentlessHeart.com, as a result of thinking I had been wrong about hearing some dates regarding P and her apostasy and leaving the marriage. May 24th. Lisa proves to be the most loving and respectful wife I could have ever possibly imagined for me after I awoke from a funky sleep where I clearly had been being worked on the night before episode 1 in this series posted online. There was a small trinity of circumstances which set me up to be left feeling sad when I woke at 3:30 a.m. Instead of treating me differently or backing up from me or looking down at me, she stepped in love. She even recorded a prayer for me. Then in the evening, she stepped in and tackled head on a lie I was hearing in my heart, which was making me feel insecure about something. She straightaway said, "Stop, Michael. That is ridiculous. That is not true. This is a lie. I don't want to hear you say this again, Michael, because it's just not true." What an amazing wife she is. Huh. So this is what true love and faith looks like in a wife. She is truly there for me when I'm down, just like that verse in Ecclesiastes 4:9-12, and she has gone out of her way to prove her loyalty and faithfulness and love to me, stepping in, even emphatically saying, "Don't you worry, I will love that insecurity right out of you." What a godly wife. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Proverbs 31:10-12. By the end of the evening, I was completely back to normal, and even though tired from not much sleep, and I was left feeling speechless about how amazing the Lord's grace is in my wife and what God has done for me and her. There is such a temptation after all I've been through to say, "This has got to be too good to be true." But I know it is not. This tree is easily recognized by its beautiful fruit. We have decided we want to put Matthew 7:11 on the wall in our bedroom because He has shown it to us so much when we had moments of fear or doubt in the beginning, and we see just how true it really is. Matthew 7:11. "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him?" Honeymoon accommodation update. 110 days until September 11th. Lisa changed our booking to the week we want, from 9:12 to 9:15. And in faith, we are believing God will cause the other person's booking to cancel for the night of the 11th, the day we marry, so that we can have it for our wedding night too. As she made the change in faith, she saw 3:13 and 1:11 back to back, which she believes the Spirit used to point her to Joshua 3:13. And as soon as the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. And Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. I am without proper words to describe how proud of, how in love with, how happy with I am with my godly wife. We again meditated on the impossible reality that God put us together and how she was listening all these 5 years and truly loving me, even telling God she would like to have a husband like me, but saying, Lord, I know there are not many Michael Criswells in the world. Here she was listening all that time to me, her brother in Christ, even asking the Lord for a husband like me, having no idea that God was not going to give her someone like me, but actually me. She said last night if she died right now, she would do so being the happiest she's ever been in her entire life. I have told her that, of course, the same is true for me. Streams in the Desert for May 24th evening mentions God finally giving Abraham a date, but only after years of waiting had passed and there were only a few months left to wait. This is exactly what happened with Lisa and I. The first of many 21s discovered in our relationship, marriage, and my move to New Zealand. I discovered that Lisa and I were both in our previous painful relationship/marriages for 21 years each. Michael, first relationship, September 2nd, 1993 to August 2nd, 2010, the date her divorce papers were filed with the court after she first signed them on July 30th, 2010, which equals 16 years and 11 months to the day. Second marriage, March 24th, 2016 to April 23rd, 2020, the day she physically left the home and marriage, which equals 4 years and 1 month, the total of which between the two is exactly 21 years to the day. Lisa, they started dating in January of 1995. Then, in May of 2016, she kicked him out for the third and final time, and she filed for divorce that same year, which is 21 years and 4 months. Michael commentary. This was a very significant find, because it becomes even more significant when we've discovered towards the end of our faith journey. Today, as I work on this, there's only 7 days left until I leave for New Zealand. As we got to the end of this faith journey, we realized God was doing almost every single event in our marriage and my move to New Zealand in 21 days and 7 days. Our most recent count is 12 instances of 21 so far. This is another astonishing way that God shows his sovereign control and power. Not to mention, if you watch the video about the tiny house being towed and shipped to New Zealand, when you watch the video footage I shot inside the house, you can see that the wood I placed on the floor was arranged without any intention on my part, with boards 2, 1, and 7 showing such that you see the numbers 21 and 7. After seeing two 951s, which mean for me to move forward despite opposition, I went out for prayer in the prayer field yesterday morning, and regarding the child support issue, I asked the Lord to please show me a 951 or a 1415 to show me to move forward on it if he wanted me to. Not too long after that, I looked down and it was 951 on my phone. I then mailed off the $25 for the child support payoff amount in obedience to the Lord. We have prayed that the Lord will do a miracle, and he will either provide the additional money needed through donations or book sales, or that he will adjust the amount owed miraculously to account for the injustice of the current overages that are still being paid for my son Tyler. May 27th. On the trail, I make note of the fact that the Lord continues to lead me to Job 8:5-7 about pleading with him until he rouses himself on my behalf and restores me to my rightful place, blessing my future so much that my beginnings seem humble. In prayer, I praised the Lord, confessing to Him that after what I'm experiencing with Lisa each day, I can see that He has already blessed me with her so much that my beginnings already do seem humble. I told the Lord I'm very thankful He didn't answer my prayers for P to come back, because I see that God had it in His heart to bless me beyond what I could ever even think, ask, or imagine. Ephesians 3:20. Since beginning my relationship with Lisa, the weight of Matthew 11 and Romans 8:18 just continue to increase each day. I have recognized for several years now that the children are no longer mine any more than Ishmael was Abraham's son after God had him send them away. You never hear of Ishmael in his life again until the burial of Abraham. I do not believe I will ever see them again, and neither does Tyler. Tyler even had what I believe was a prophetic dream about this right after he came to live with me in 2019. God has clearly snatched them away, Job 9:12, and I have accepted it. I saw a piece of paper or a statement which showed the word bound, referring to me and my obligations to the child support. I then continued to plead with the Lord to free me from that bondage of the child support and give me a clean slate without any bondages to the past as I move into this new life which He has chosen for me in New Zealand with Lisa. He keeps showing me things will be new. Moving day for Tyler. Tyler and I moved all his stuff and all my extra stuff over to his condo today. He will be moving in either tonight or tomorrow night. Praise the Lord. Someone close to Lisa expressed a concern about us being able to fit everything in on 9/11, picking me up from isolation, getting ready for the wedding, having the wedding, and then traveling to our honeymoon accommodation. We still believe the Lord can get it all done on that day, and that is the day He has planned and set aside for us to marry. We are pleading with the Lord to secure for me an isolation reservation at a hotel right near Lisa's home, which will save us so much time that day. It is literally 5 minutes from Lisa's driveway. On the calendar, we have exactly 90 days from today until my plane leaves. We still have all these obstacles, and yet we believe that God is going to supernaturally help us and remove all of them. I still feel no pressure to put the tiny house up for sale, even though it now must be removed off of the property by August 1st. I have such peace, and I know God is up to something. There still has been no new movement on the child support issue, so until that has moved, I cannot apply for a passport and I cannot apply for a visa until I get a passport. Everything is being held back right now. For the past few days and nights, and right after leaving the mountain, the Lord continues to lead me to Psalm 34, 4 through 10, and then also to Matthew 9, 28, asking me if I believe He can do this. Just as I'm telling Him I do believe He can do this, that same dump truck from the May 15th sighting with the large 777 on the front chrome bumper passed me again. It's clearly Him reminding me to remember He can do the impossible. May 29th. Early in the morning on the prayer trail, I began bursting with gratitude on the trail for the scandalous story God has recently allowed to take place in my life, resulting from P's apostasy and now my remarriage to Lisa. It has caused hundreds of people per month to unsubscribe from my channel. There is a lowliness and a disgrace in it that is blessing me like I would have not expected. One of the most prominent prayers I have prayed over the years is to do whatever it takes to keep me humble. Indeed, He has done it. He has answered my prayers. The apostles left, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Acts 5:41. I received a wonderful email from an older sister who had been trapped in a horrible marriage for years. She emailed me today to let me know she is finally free and God has used this ministry to give her the courage to trust Him for her own freedom through a divorce which will liberate her from a child of the devil who has refused to repent for years. The Lord provided for her in a wonderful way to help her get her own place and she was so happy. God encourages Lisa's patience and blesses her waiting. During a 3.5-hour phone call, Lisa and I talk about how we're still having to suffer and wait, even after we have both waited, especially her, for many years in the wilderness. Over 11 years of waiting, there were many times she was ready to just give up on God. We talked about how sweet this marriage is going to be by Father's wisdom to make us wait as a wonderful reward. Even though Lisa was able to see that we have been able to do most of the legwork of getting to know each other before we even marry, she was talking about how hard it is sometimes to stay patient and to keep waiting for him to bring us together. While she was talking about the struggle to remain patient, she was prompted by the Holy Spirit to look up the streams in the desert for September 11th evening, and we were both absolutely amazed. Of all the days this devotion could have been on, it occurs on the evening of our first night of being married. And of all the times God could have led her there, it happened while we were talking about the struggle to remain patient. Praise Him. Streams in the Desert devotional for September 11th evening. After waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. Hebrews 6:15. Abraham was tested for a very long time, but he was richly rewarded. The Lord tested him by delaying the fulfillment of his promise. Satan tested him through temptation, and people tested him through their jealousy, distrust, and opposition to him. Sarah tested him through her worrisome temperament. Yet he patiently endured, not questioning God's truthfulness and power or doubting God's faithfulness and love. Instead, Abraham submitted to God's divine sovereignty and infinite wisdom, and he was silent through many delays, willing to wait for the Lord's timing. Having patiently endured, he then obtained the fulfillment of the promise. Beloved, God's promises can never fail to be accomplished, and those who patiently wait can never be disappointed, for believing faith leads to realization. Abraham's life condemns a spirit of hastiness, and I'll also say unbelief. It admonishes those who complain, commends those who are patient, and encourages quiet submission to God's will and way. Remember, Abraham was tested, but he patiently waited, ultimately received what was promised, and was satisfied. If you imitate his example, you will share the same blessing. Then, after talking about her story and one day being able to use it to bless others with it through the ministry, I received this comment today. Michael, it's so lovely to see how happy you are. I'm so looking forward to one day getting the chance to hear your new wife share her story. From what you've shared about her never feeling like she fit in, it's weirdly encouraging. It's a lot like my life. I've always wanted to know someone who loves God and feels like she does about never fitting in. Our Father is using your ministry and your wife to help me so much. I thank Him so much for both of you. I really pray and hope your wife will one day be able to talk to us. I, for one, am looking forward to getting her wisdom. Fingers crossed, she'll be open to chatting to us/me. Lisa woke up this morning from a terrible satanic attack in her dreams, unlike she's ever had before. She woke up shaking and so upset. At around the same hour she was having the dream, the Lord had already shown me a 666 while I was at the post office, and shortly after, a 303, 2 Thessalonians 3:3. I knew the attack was coming, and God helped us. I then got her to hear and confess the truth by asking her certain questions so that she could see and remember the truth of what was happening, and soon her heart began to settle. Father answered my prayer to refresh her spirit that same day. By the end of the day, we booked our second accommodation for our honeymoon, the last 9 days in a different city from the first 5 days. So now we need only wait for Father to add that one extra night on September 11th at our first booking by changing someone else's booking who currently has that night locked up. He has promised us He will do it, and we know He will. Then I found the exact wedding ring she wanted, and it was even on sale, and we were both so happy. The ring is gorgeous. I just felt so happy to bless her with this. My wife truly deserves this beautiful diamond ring. Before I went to bed, I was feeling so tender towards her and so thankful to Father for her. I ended up getting on my knees to record a prayer for her and basically wept my whole way through it with tears of gratitude that would not stop. It was quite surprising. I felt like the Lord had indeed even blessed my heart double for her after that attack. I'm just so in love with my wife and so thankful to God for her. It's just amazing. Also, yesterday is the day on the mountain that I had that really emotional few moments where I was able to identify with Harriet Tubman regarding my being used of the Lord to go back and free others who are trapped in the bondage of legalism and in dead marriages which are killing them spiritually. Marriages which God would lawfully allow them to be free of, but they remain trapped in by religious lies and fear and bondage. I saw myself as a type of Harriet Tubman, where now I have freedom. I have been going back at high personal cost to myself to try to free as many others as would have ears to hear. My dearest brother Jared was freed because God used me in that way in his life, and now he is so blessed with his wife Kay, and even more remarkably, God used me in 2016 to help get my own future wife Lisa free. God used me to free Lisa, and then he turned around and gave her to me after he spent 5 years loving her and building her up in faith in Christ. In remarkable confirmation of this, I received the following email after making that journal entry this morning on the mountain. Name, Mary Rose. Subject, Grace to Love, Video 1. Message, Hi Michael. I wanted to share with you what happened to me as I watched your Grace to Love Again Video 1. Just to say that your videos have helped me so much over the years. I was married in misery for 14 years. And those 14 years, God brought me to the ground and rebuilt me. I prayed and prayed for him to help my marriage, but it never seemed to get any better, only worse. In the end, Jesus, my Savior, in his mercy, reached down his hand and took me out of this marriage, clearly saying to me, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I wanted to tell you that your videos have helped me immensely. But today, as I watched your Grace to Love video, a text message came into my phone, so I paused your video to read it. I heard my Lord say to me, see where you paused? And it paused at 18:18. God led me to Deuteronomy. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. This is you, Michael. The Lord put it in my heart. Keep going, brother. Keep your eyes on Christ. The other remarkable thing about this sister's email is that as I was driving around yesterday to the post office, I noticed 322 three times in a row, and I was quite surprised by it. I almost questioned the Lord why he felt the need to show me that three times. That is typically one of the verses from Luke 3:22 where the Lord tells me that he loves me and he's proud of me after I've done something difficult. However, it is the exact same verse as Deuteronomy 18:18 in the book of Acts. How remarkable. Acts 3:22, for Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people, and you must listen to everything he tells you. Clearly, the verse is speaking of Jesus, but it also applies to any servant of the Lord that he would raise up and put his words in their mouth. Hence, Jesus' teaching in Matthew 10:40-41. May 30th. To my amazement, I made an image on my phone with Lisa's ring and a Bible verse with the date of our marriage being September 11th. And when I published the pic from the app, the time it was created was 8:28 a.m., the very day I land in Auckland, New Zealand. May 30th, 42 minutes into editing episode number 5, Rachel from South Africa sent me a link to Derek Prince's wedding story in the series he did called How the Matchmaker Guided Me. This message was so striking and so edifying that I decided to include it in that episode. The similarities between his marriage story to Ruth and mine to Lisa is striking. Our wives are both in different countries, a country that God had previously called us to. We started out praying for both of our wives' sore backs. God gave us both a dream or a vision to show that he had chosen her for us. We are both told to marry before we actually have fallen in love with each other. And we both do not believe at first that this could possibly be from God. And we both quote Genesis 2:22. And we both speak of and desire unity and harmony in our marriage. This was incredible. After a delightful several-hour call, Lisa received an email with news about her ex, which brought back memories of all the darkness that she faced with him, and she began to shake and get quite upset at this news. I made her a recording of some of my favorite scriptures. In the end, we both agreed this was a very good thing to hear, and it certainly vindicated her decision to move forward with me in obedience to the Lord. It blessed me, too, to know that she had moved forward with me before she found out this news. The next morning, she replied in disbelief, saying to me, "Are you sure you are real?" She seems to be so pleased by the love of Christ in me for her that she finds it very difficult to reconcile with everything she's known from her past relationship. I praise God for this. Special note, During our WhatsApp video call, at one point, Lisa abruptly stops the conversation, changes her facial expression, goes quiet, and looks at me in the camera and emphatically says, "Did you know that you are mine?" It was so adorable, and I would give anything if I had that moment on video. It was just wonderful. May 31st. More Harriet Tubman confirmation. As I was working on episode number 6 yesterday, I came across in our recording in Austin, Texas, between Jared and Kristen and I, where I actually mentioned Harriet Tubman, and I couldn't believe my own ears. I had no idea that I had previously had that thought. It seems to me that God is perhaps helping me to see her mission as an illustration and a vision for moving forward in the ministry with Lisa. We are in a small way a type of underground railroad sneaking people out of the bondage they are in regarding legalistic and overly simplistic views on divorce and remarriage situations. Yesterday, I had this incredible insight that just like Eve was made from Adam, Lisa has been, quote, made from me. For 5 years, she walked by my side, and it was as if I was in a deep sleep concerning her existence, just like Adam being oblivious to Eve's creation because he was asleep. In that time, God was creating her spiritually, literally from my spiritual side, from the very spiritual life which God had already created in me. Then God presented himself to her first, and after he had fully created her spiritually speaking, he then presented her to me. It also happens over a period of 5 years, which is also another indication of God's grace. Lisa had the insight that this is why we have such incredible unity and harmony in our relationship, and why we find we agree 100% on all matters of the Spirit and our relationship. The reason being that she was literally created from what God had already created in me. Spiritually speaking, she is literally bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This is an incredible mystery to consider and such a marvelous act of God. This explains why she was so defensive of me all those years if anyone disagreed with me or spoke ill of me in her presence, and why she has been continually in such agreement with me. It is because God shaped her spiritual thinking and her spiritual heart and her spiritual understanding using the very work that he had already done in me. Just as God created Eve from a rib, quote, a work already done in Adam, so he has done with Lisa and I. How absolutely amazing. Praise be to the name of our Most High God.